Today, this week is Parashas Bo. Parashas Bo, the end of Parashas Bo is the Parash of Tefillin. It's interesting that we have a whole mitzvah, a very significant mitzvah, and it's given to us before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the mitzvah of Tefillin. V'hayol l'chol ois al yadcho u'lito tofos b'ninecha, k'shartam los l'yadech v'yu l'to tofos b'ninecha. We have two of the four parashas of Tefillin are presented at the end of Parashas Bo. The very beautiful Medrash, the Medrash says, why are the parashas of Tefillin after Bo, right after the parasha of Korban Pesach? Because what did the Jewish people do with the hides of the Korban Pesach? They used the leather, the hides of the animal, of the Korban Pesach to make Tefillin. Interesting. That would mean that the tefillin, the first tefillin that were worn by the Jewish people, were dakos, behema dakos. Today, there's probably no one in this room that wears tefillin from a sheep, the leather from a sheep, or they only slaughtered sheep for the Korban Pesach. Even though you can use goats, but they use sheep. Today, everyone here uses a behema gasa from cows. Or whatever they call them, they have different names for them today. they have different genetic engineering. They have different forms of large animals, and today it's not considered to be a good thing to wear tefillin that the batim are made from behema daka, because they're very, very delicate and they get ruined very, very easily. Today we have technology, very sophisticated, advanced technology to make. Very high quality tefillin, and they're all made today with the hides of a behema gasa, large animals. The Korban Pesach may not be offered from a behema gasa. Korban Pesach can only be brought from kivosim or izim, goats or sheep. It is interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu asked people that mishku kuchulachem tzoin, even though according to the letter of the law you can use either goats or sheep, Moshe asked the people that to show your emun in Hashem, slaughter sheep. Because if you slaughter a goat, there's no mesiras nefesh. Because a goat was an innocent, benign animal in Egypt. On the other hand, sheep were the idol of the Egyptian people. So if you would take sheep and you would slaughter the sheep, you would be slaughtering the idol of Egypt. And that would enrage the Egyptians. How dare you mock our deity? How dare you slaughter our deity? The Jews had a very easy way out. A very easy way out of not provoking the Egyptians by slaughtering goats as the Korban Pesach. Who was the first one to slaughter a goat as the Korban Pesach? Yitzchak. The day when the brachos, when Yitzchak wanted to give the brachos to Esav, so he says, Asei li mat amim. Make for me delicacies. So Rivka overheard, was eavesdropping. She heard the conversation. She called Yaakov. Yaakov, you go and bring your father. You go get dressed. You bring the matamin. Take for me two goats. It's written in the ksuba that I'm entitled to take two goats every day from what we have in stock. Rivka, why did Rivka demand goats, not sheep? In Mitzrayim, they offer, yeah, that's the process, kvosim oi izim. Rivka selected two goats. Rashi says that your father, he enjoys goat meat more than he enjoys than anything else, because tam hagdi kitam hatzvi, because it tastes like a deer. Okay, there's a lot of Torah on this, whatever there is. But it's interesting that Yaakov Avinu, he selected goats for his Korban Pesach. And in Egypt, they selected sheep. What did the Jewish people do throughout history? I don't know. It seems like goats. I mean, sheep. It's like sheep. It would seem I came across something once where maybe it's the mashing in the psukim or the Gemara talks about, and the Gemara talks about this. The Gemara is mashma that the majority of the korbanos that were offered in the time of the Bayesheni were from sheep. Not from goats. Now, I don't know what the mitzias is when you are the leather of a goat versus the leather of sheep. Does anyone have any experience with this? I know it's the person who was in the business. So he was a very wealthy person. He made a lot of money from hides of hides of animals. He used to work in this business. Now, a long time, he's not doing this anymore. But I don't know which hide would be better suited to make tefillin. Is the hide of a sheep better suited to make tefillin, or is the hide of a goat better suited to make tefillin? Maybe
a cow.
What?
Or a cow.
No, a cow for sure. A cow is the best. That's gassas. Everyone here in this room is wearing gassas for sure. Everyone is wearing from a cow. No one today makes tefillin from dachlis anymore. Everyone is making tefillin from cows. I mean, you can still buy. They're very, very cheap.
Maybe they were easier to make from a cow.
Right.
Sheep,
no, from a sheep.
It didn't last as long.
Oh, so that's what I'm wondering. I wonder if that's part of the equation. Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people, Mishchu ukuchu lochem tsoim v'shochatu ha-pesach. And Chazal Darshan, why did he say the word Mishchu? Withdraw from Egyptian culture. Withdraw your hands from worshipping the sheep. And instead, take that sheep that you otherwise would worship and be drawn to as being a member of this society, and slaughter it. And slaughter it. Moshe, if Moshe would have said to them to take goats for the Korban Pesach, he could not possibly have used that terminology, Mishru ukuchu lochem gidiyim, izim, v'shochatu ha-posach, because the goat was not a deity in Egypt. The sheep was the deity in Egypt. Moshe wanted to do something to provoke the Egyptians. See, today in America, the Rabbanim would tell you, go into your basement, close the door and hide, and don't do anything provocative. Don't look for trouble. Don't look for trouble today. Yeah, it's a miracle that you're alive. Don't make trouble. Go hide. Moshe Rabbeinu was bold. He was very bold. Obviously, it was a different time. Obviously, there were miracles happening right and left. He told Klal Yisrael, go start up with them. Even though you have an alternative, you don't have to bring a Korban Pesach from a sheep. You can bring the Korban Pesach from goats. Don't start up with them. Be nice. Play nice. Go and buy goats. Give them parnassah. They'll be very happy to sell you goats and tie you to your bed and get ready, and we'll have a festival. The Egyptians will have no problem. They'll be very, very happy. They'll make a killing. They'll make a lot of money off all the festivities, all the supplies and the food that the Jews need. They'll buy from us. Moshe says, go provoke them. Take a sheep, take their deity, tie it to the bed, let it stand there for 4 days. They'll ask you, what are you doing? What are you doing? In 4 days, 3 days, we're gonna slaughter your avodah zarah. They went meshuggah. They went crazy. What are you doing? What are you doing? They provoked them. That was Moshe. That was certainly part of the calculation. I'm wondering, as Mr. Merula says, since the Chazal tells us, the Medrash tells us that with the hides of the animals, they fashioned tefillin. Is this hide more suitable for tefillin versus the hide of a goat? I have no idea. But today we do none of the above. Today we don't use a sheep for our tefillin. Today it is extremely common to use only what's called a behema gasa, a large animal which has a thick skin. And the processing of these animals, of the hides, is done in such a way where they can literally last a lifetime, even more. They can last a very, very long time if it's processed correctly and done properly. Okay, so that's this week's parasha. That was a sidetrack. I want to discuss just for a few minutes, whatever time we have left. I'm sure many people here in this room know there's a very chashuv Talmid Chacham in the neighborhood called Rabbi Avraham Shur. He used to be on East 15th Street between Avenue L and Elm and Locust. He moved a couple of years ago to Coney Island, across the street from Eichler's, and that's where he's located now. And he's an awesome, awesome Talmud Chacham. He does need my introduction. In fact, he once spoke for us many years ago when we learned Sefer Eiv, and we made a seal on Sefer in this room. He spoke. He was the guest speaker. Can you imagine those days? I had guest speakers. I asked him to come, and he spoke. He spoke for us, and I had to go beg him 100 times. It was crazy. And then I think he was very, very impressed. He was very happy. He even asked me for a tape. He asked me for a CD of his drasha. He spoke very, very well. Does anyone remember? Mayor, you remember?
It's on the website.
So it's on the website. So one of his big, big things, he's a very holy person. He really is. He's a very emotional person, very emotional, very holy person. And one of his biggest things, I think, is tefillin. Tefillin is a very, very big promoter of tefillin. He loves tefillin in a very unusual way. And in fact, he probably still gives. I'm not paying attention because he moved out. He's not really in the immediate neighborhood. Not in the immediate neighborhood. He used to give every Sunday, a shiur on tefillin for bar mitzvah boys. Every Sunday for bar mitzvah boys, he gave a shiur. The shiur was so popular that not only did the bar mitzvah boys come, their parents came, their fathers came, and not just their fathers, everyone used to come. Sunday, it was meant for bar mitzvah boys. Bar mitzvah boys who are now putting on tefillin for the very first time, he gave them a shiur in English, halacha, agada, and it was so delicious, the shiur. People started coming. It became a very popular thing. So I once asked him to put out, I really wonder if I have a chiluk in this, my gaiva, because he put out a lot of these little books, these little svarim, like this, called Lekach V'Halivov. These white, these little small sizes. And then I was in the shul once. I said to him, Rebbe, maybe you can put out the sefer on tefillin. Tefillin. You need to put on the Moadim. Tefillin. Why can't you? It would be really a big toelus to put out on tefillin. And sure enough, not that much longer, he nodded. Maybe he was ready in the middle of writing it. I don't know. And sure enough, not that much later, lo and behold, he came out with this Kuntras, a little safer on tefillin. And he has here Kedargoy, a lot of very esoteric things. Okay, there's a lot of way out stuff that's way over my head. But in between all the heavy duty stuff, there are some things that are very downed and very, very powerful. Now I'm gonna tell you over here now, it's not exactly what he says. It's 90%, 80% of what he says, but certainly the other 20% is only because of him, only triggered because of him. Yes, you have a very beautiful drasha about the connection between tefillin and mezuzahs, and a mezuzah. Very fascinating connection between the two. Let me give you one or two or three examples and we'll try to put it together. Now, let me try to explain. On the tefillin, we know the tefillin, it carries with it Hashem's name. Which name are we referring to? We're not referring to the standard name that appears in the Torah 1,820 times, Yudke Vavke. I'm referring to the other name of Shin Dalid Yud. Shakai, last week's parasha, V'eiro El Avram El Yisrael El Yaakov Bikel Shakai, Ushmi Hashem Loi Noidati Lohem. Now I want to go off for a moment on a tangent. Isn't it interesting that when Moshe Rabbeinu begins the Ten Machos, the first thing is Hashem says to Moshe, I have a complaint against you. My complaint is that you're a complainer. You're a complainer. That's my complaint. I dealt with the Avos, Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. To them I revealed myself with the shame, shin, then the letter Dalit and the letter Yud. We're not into Kabbalah, but this is Chumash and Rashi. Which means, I'm going to make promises. To you, I'm much better. I'm much more open. I'm much more transparent. Like the 21st century. Transparency. And to you, I'm Megala with the shame, Yud K, Vav K. I'm in the Megala, the meat of MS. You're going to see, I keep my promises. Open books. Transparency. So you should not complain. The Avos, who for them, it was a closed book. They didn't get to see the books. Everything was closed. It was promises, no fulfillment. They had no complaints. You, Lama Harayosa, why this, why this? I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, and this, and this. Complaints. I'm so much more transparent with you than I am with the others, so what are you complaining so much? Isn't it interesting, you fast forward two parashios, when the story of the Exodus comes to an end. Last week, Moshe began the Ten Makos. This week, the Makos are complete, and the Jewish people, they pack up their matzah, and they're out of there, gone. They leave Egypt, okay, out. We left Mitzrayim in this week's parasha. What is the Gemara? The mission is over. The mission really is over to a large degree. Okay, there's going to be Matan Torah. There's going to be Eretz Yisrael. But phase one is over. The hard part is over. We left Egypt. The impossible was achieved. And what does Moshe do? Okay, Rabbi Yisai, tefillin. Everyone, take the leftover hide of your Karban Pesach, make tefillin. Put in the tefillin two parashas. They only had two parashas in their tefillin. Whole story, two parashas there, four parashas, whatever it is. They had their version of tefillin. And what do you put on the tefillin? Shin, the letter Dalet, and the letter Yud. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu, his relationship with Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei, transparency. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu, what does he tell the people? Tefillin, and the tefillin is no. Shakai. What's the pshat? The pshat is, it's Moshe's way of doing teshuva. When you recruited me, you said, Moshe, I'm so good to you. I reveal myself to you with the name Yudkei Vavkei, with transparency, and you complain. Look at the others. Look how good they were. They didn't complain. When it was all over, Moshe Rabbeinu is now returning to the meat of the others. Moshe is giving Klal Yisrael tefillin to connect to Hashem, and he's repairing the damage. I don't mean those harsh words, but he has an appreciation now of the others, realizing how his complaints to Hashem were not correct, were inappropriate. And now, as his way of going chozer b'shuva, he goes back and he says to Klal Yisrael, let's go back and appreciate Shakai. Shakai. The Gemar, the beginning was, Vo'era el Avraham el Yitzchak v'el Yaakov b'kel shakoy. I'm complaining, Moshe, you got a problem. The others, they didn't have a problem, and they had shakai. You don't think the Musar bothered Moshe his whole life? You don't think it bothered him? It certainly bothered him. It bothered him the entire process. It was certainly occupied his mind and weighed down upon him. And now, when finally it was over, Moshe was choyze b'shuva. By dedicating the tefillin, or at least v'hashkocha, here's the first mitzvah. On the way out of Mitzrayim, v'nei Yisrael yotzim b'yod ramah, you're going to leave Mitzrayim wearing tefillin. They left, isn't what it says? When Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they left Mitzrayim wearing tefillin. And what was on the tefillin? V'eira el Avraham el Yitzchak v'el Yaakov b'kel shakai. It was a tribute to the others. Okay, that's a side point. Now going back, we have Shakai. Here's what's very interesting. On the mezuzah, what does it say? What do we write? What is the minhag? Everything is, of course, I'll be the mesora halacha l'moshe misinai. You're not going to find this in any text. All the different intricate details of how to write a mezuzah, how to write tefillin. It's all mesora, all halacha l'moshe misinai. What is on the outside of tefillin?
Shakai.
Of mezuzah, what do you put on the outside? Shakai. Right. Okay, should the shakai be exposed? Ideally, yes. Ideally, it would be a very good thing to have a clear mezuzah. A mezuzah, opaque means what?
Yeah, clear.
Clear, opaque, is pronounced rightly, opaque, how you pronounce it? Opaque, case. That would be the ideal, or better have no case. Just to, I don't know, somehow to make a charitz in the door, be a good service in the Flabish Jewish Journal. We come to your house and we etch into your door. We do metal, we do wood, we do all material. We'll make that etch so you can be mekayim, the mezuzah, like the gra, the Vilna Goyim, held the mezuzah, the parchment should touch, no cases, no nylon, no plastic, it should touch. We'll make that charitz for $200 a door. Okay, it'll be a good business. Okay, so what do you have on the outside? You should really ideally see the shin, the dal, and the letter yud. It's not always ideal to do that because the person is not properly dressed at home. A person has little children, and even the person is dressed. It's not always appropriate that the Aron HaKodesh should be exposed. Sometimes here, I'm here in the afternoon, I sometimes have to close the curtain because we do things here that are not appropriate. We have conversations that are not supposed to be, political conversations, politics, not to be discussed in front of the Aron HaKodesh. So you have to cover the mezuzah. So that's why it's not always the best idea to have a mezuzah that's opaque, because of the Shem Hashem that's on the outside part. But ideally, it's not such a bad idea that the Shem Hashem should be on the outside. And you have like Batei Midrashim. Batei Midrashim, there you typically find that the Rav is makbid, if he can, that it should be opaque, because that's really the ideal thing to see. Now, excuse me, what is the Shakai doing on the mezuzah? The Shakai belongs on the tefillin, not on the mezuzah. Okay, now you'll say, come on, big deal, Shakai. So what is a Shakai? So the Shakai all over the place. Okay, let me prove to you that it's a good question. How many branches are there on the top of your tefillin in the name of Shakai? How many? Well, the shin, well, what is Shakai? There's the shin that is embossed, okay, with the protrudes from the tefillin. Then there's the dalet of the ritzu of the tefillah shel roish, and the yud of the tefillah shel yad. Now, how many shins are there?
Two.
One on the right, one on the left. One of them has how many heads?
Three.
And the other has four. A four-head shin. No problem. Whoever said the shin is supposed to have three heads. Why does one have three, one have four? Because three plus four equals seven. What is the significance of the number seven? The menorah. The menorah has how many branches? Seven branches. So we have on the top of the tefillin, the menorah. How do you know we have the menorah on top of it? Because when you put on your tefillin, let me read the words, so I shouldn't embarrass myself. Say this every day, I don't even know what I'm saying. What do you say? Umei chochmoscha kel elyoin tatzil olai. Bestow upon me. Shower upon me. Umi binasicha tivineni. From your understanding, give me depth of knowledge. Uvechastecha tagdil olai. Could you imagine if you really said these words with kavana? It would be amazing. Just to get up 15 minutes earlier, come to shul. These words are so powerful. Not to be able to go your whole life, and just don't even know what it says there. It's a chaval, chaval, chaval. What we lose out on. Just to come a few minutes earlier. V'chastecha tagdil olai. U'v'gvurascha tatsmis oivai v'komai. And with your gvura, obliterate. If the whole Klal Yisrael said these words every single day they put on tefillin, believe me, I'm willing to bet my last penny that Mashiach would have come a long, long time ago. If just we would say these words, these psukim, and you put on your tefillin with kavana. And then comes the real clincher, the real heavy, heavy weight. The shemen hatoiv, the good oil, tarik, pour al upon the shiva kinei hamenorah, the seven branches of the candelabra, lahashpia, to bestow tuvicho, your goodness, livri oisecha. Why in the world would you say this pasuk when you're putting on tefillin? What in the world is going on here? V'shemin hatoiv, torik, al shiva knei hamenoira, lahashpia tuvicho livri oisecha. What is Hanukkah today? What's going on here? The answer is, on your tefillah shel roish, the rohu kol ame ha'aretz kishem Hashem nikro lecha v'yodu mimecha. You're an advertisement for Chabad every day of the year. You have a menorah. You have tefillin and a menorah. That's the two Chabad big things. You put, did you put on tefillin today? And wherever you go, there's the Chabad menorah, the V menorah, right? I mean, you're a walking advertisement for Chabad. It's unbelievable. Why? There are seven, there are two shins. Three and four is seven. Those two shins is the menorah. And when you put on your tefillin, you ask Hashem, Hashem be mashpia, pour down upon us through those branches, the shemen hatoiv torik. You put on your tefillin, you are a receptacle for Hashem to be mashpia, blessing upon you It goes through those branches right into your head. It goes right into you, the blessing of the Shabbat, where you put on the tefillin shalvayish, the two branches, the menorah. It's amazing stuff. Okay, so therefore, what do you basically have on your head? You have the menorah. Now, let's go to Chanukah. Everyone knows the halach of Chanukah. Where is the ideal place to put Chanukah? Chanukah is ner ish ubeisai. The ikur mitzvah of Chanukah. Forget about what goes on today. Today we live in a world of fantasy. But in the world of reality, the place where the Chanukah menorah belongs is by your door. Because the door is the Pesach of the Bayis. Mitzvah of Chanukah is a mitzvah for the Bayis, for the B'nai Bayis, the family, the Bayis. On the Pesach of the Bayis, there are two mitzvahs. There is the mezuzah mimin, and the Chanukah menorah mismoil. Every time you put on your head the tefillin, you know what you see? You see the mezuzah. When you go to shul and you look at someone wearing tefillin, what do you see? I see a menorah. Not a Chabad menorah. That's out in Times Square. Nothing wrong with that. Not chas v'shalom. Anything bad to say about Chabad? I love Chabad. I'm a Chabad chassid. Why not? What's wrong with a Chabad chassid? I'm embarrassed to be a Chabad chassid. What's wrong? Our school became very Chabad lately. They put out books. You guys, the book, The Insider. It's all Chabad. It's unbelievable. What a Chabad book that is. You got this new book. It's a bestseller. Insider. It's all Chabad. It's an incredible promotion for Chabad. Wherever you... there's nothing bad to say. I'm getting sidetracked. When you look at someone's tefillin, what do you see? I see the menorah. The menorah. You don't belong in the Mizrach Vant. You belong by the door. You belong by the door. Because that's where the menorah belongs, by the mezuzah. I look at the mezuzah, what do I see? Shakai. You don't belong by the door. You belong by the Mizrach Vant with your tefillin. Each one is complementing the other. The tefillin are calling to the mezuzah because the tefillin have in the most explicit way, the most visible form, the menorah. The menorah. Where did Chazal tell you to put your menorah? The zecher of the menorah. The zecher. By the mezuzah. You don't just light the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. You light a zecher for the menorah for 8 days by the Pesach HaBayis. So when you look at someone's tefillin, you're in shul. Oh, tefillin. Oh, the Bayis. You think about, I gotta go home to my wife, my family. The Pesach HaBayis. You walk in the door, Shakai, oh, I have to go back to shul. Ki beisi beis tefillah. The tefillin is a bias. The tefillah shel yad, the tefillah shel roish, it's tefillah. The ikar mok place of tefillah is not the bias. If you're diving in the home every day, you got a problem. You're supposed to go to the beis tefillah, the beis hakneses. Each one complements the other. Each one is calling attention. The shakai of the mezuzah is calling attention to the tefillin. The tefillin is, which is the base, the ikar is the base medrash, and the tefillin is calling attention to the bayis. You can't have one without the other. Okay, that's one idea. He doesn't say exactly that, but he says that I learned the menorah from him. The menorah idea, by the way, I learned only from him. Only place I ever saw this beautiful idea of why you say Vashem Natav Tirek and the seven branches are sure. But he doesn't say it over here, calling attention to one another. What he does say is, okay, running out of time, I'll show you really quickly, is every day, this is a very beautiful idea in and of itself. After we finish Kriya Shema, we say 15 or 16 words. I don't know how to count. But we say a number of words after Shema, after Emes. Ani Hashem Elokechem, so we have 16. Emes. 15 or 16?
15.
There are three types of people in this world, don't ever forget. Those who know how to count and those who don't.
Depends which college you want to
go. Okay? MS. What's MS? V'yatzif, v'nochon, v'kayim, v'yosha, v'nemon, v'ohu, v'chavir, v'nechmon, v'norim, v'noira, v'adir, u'mesukon, u'mekubel, v'tov, v'yofeh. 16. Rabbi Mayavsky, you like me. You like me, okay? You didn't count emes. You didn't count emes. You counted flowing from v'yatzif. Okay, now, why are there so many words? So Rabbi Shur explains, it corresponds to the 16 pesukim of Kriya Shema. Emes corresponds to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. V'yatziv, which is Aramaic, and it means Emes, is Baruch Shem Kivoid Malchuso Li'olam Voed. V'nochon, Emes, V'yatziv, V'nochon corresponds to V'ohavto, Eis Hashem Elokecha B'chol Levav V'chol Nashem B'chol Yodecha. Emes, V'nochon, V'kayom is the next pasuk. Wait, I do too fast. Period. So it's emes, v'yatziv, v'nochon, v'kayom. Okay, you have to go through all of them, so I'm not going to take too long to go through the whole thing. Now, what is the point I want to make is...
wasn't counting emes.
Emes is the Shema Yisrael. No, right? No, that's what I said. You were not counting emes. So emes is Shema. Yatziv is Baruch Shem. And you go through the psukim. Now we're coming to two words we want to focus on. The two words you want to focus on are, let me go back to emes v'yatziv, is the words emes v'yatziv, v'nachon v'kayom v'yashar, and also v'ne'emon, and v'ahuf. These two words, which psukim do they correspond to? So follow the sequence. The word v'ne'emon corresponds to the pasuk. Let's go to the pasukim. Ukishartom le'ois al yodecha v'hayu le'toitofois bein einecha. The next word, ve'ahuv, beloved, corresponds to ukisavtom al mezuzois be'secha uvisharecha. Okay, so we go through the words, and each word corresponds to a pasuk. Through the conclusion of the Chaya in Shemaya, okay, the first two parashiyos, you go to the first two parashiyos of Kriya Shema, and you take these, there are 16 pesukim in total, and you go through the pasuk by pasuk, ukashartom le'os is v'ne'eman, and mezuzah is v'ahuv. So the Shur goes on to explain something very powerful, another relationship. Tefillin, the essence of tefillin, is a very powerful idea, is nemo. When a person is wearing tefillin, the way he's supposed to wear tefillin, it is a statement, this is a trustworthy person, a nemo. That's very powerful in many, many reasons. Because what is the shorish of the word nemo? Emuna, faithful. What color are tefillin? Black, they're dark. Where are the parashios? They're hidden. They're not just hidden once. They're hidden twice. You take the parashiyos and you wrap them first in parchment. And then you insert them inside of the box and you stitch it up. They're doubly hidden. As it says in the pasuk, V'anochi haster astir ponai. There are 21 times does Hashem's name appear in the tefillin. Total of 42. 42 times in each tefillin, 21 times. Hashem's name is doubly hidden because it's wrapped up in parchment. That's how you write, when you put the tefillin, you don't put the tefillin right directly into the box. Before you put the tefillin into the box, you are required to wrap the parsha in a piece of parchment, in a blank piece of parchment. And then you take that combination, and it's stitched up also, and you insert it into the box. It's doubly hidden. To fulfill, v'anochi, haster, you wrap the here around it. You tie. You take the parsha, you fold it, and then you take a piece of blank parchment, and you wrap the blank piece of parchment, empty piece of parchment around the parsha, and then you take here, wherever here, I've got goats here, or cows here, I've got a gid, and you wrap it, and you wrap the here around it to keep it fastened, and then you put it into the parasha. So the parashiyos, and meaning the names of Hashem, that are in the parashos are doubly hidden inside of your tefillin to fulfill what it says, V'onochi haster astir parnai b'yomahu. You need a lot of emunah for that. When it's dark outside, it's black outside, and Hashem is in hiding, you need a lot of emunah. It's not easy. V'ne'emon. We say 16 words, and each word captures a pasuk. And the word that captures the essence of tefillin is v'ne'emon. Okay, there are many more ideas. Okay, he has a beautiful arichas on this. Sarah Tommy has a beautiful arichas on this. There are many, many, many different elements of tefillin. You can talk about Zerah Shufet, the days, showing you all the different dimensions of the word emunah and how it relates to tefillin. But we're just for now, this is the next word. Ve'ahuv, beloved, love. That corresponds to mezuzah. What do you do to the mezuzah, everyone? Today, they tell you not to do it anymore. But it used to be, back in the good old days, everyone cherished the words of the Arizal. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not in the Ramah, it's not in the Magen Avraham, it's not in any of the Nisei Kalim. If you open up a Shulchan Aruch, you're going to find this in teeny little letters. You'll probably need a magnifying glass. On the bottom left of the Shulchan Aruch, you look down, the Arizal says you should kiss the mezuzah. I forgot which commentary. On the very, very bottom, on the left side, teeny little letters. The Arizal, when you enter into the bayis and you see the mezuzah, kiss the mezuzah. Today, the Rabbanim, many of them tell you you shouldn't do that. Because, unfortunately, we live in a very dangerous world and you can get sick. Keep your hands to yourself. Do what it says in the Rambam. Stop and reflect. Reflect upon the mezuzah. And the Rambam, in fact, it's very, very fascinating what he says about the mezuzah. He says the words of the Rambam in Rabbi Kanshul. I saw this a couple of times. It became a new fad. Fundraising. You get someone to give $1 million to dedicate the mezuzah. Not bad. Put it in an endowment fund. Just to make sure the endowment fund doesn't go broke. You put in the, they put sometimes, I saw in YU, I think it was YU. I don't know, maybe not. I saw in YU the other day, maybe just a dedication. I think Rabbi Kanshul. I was very impressed. Every Kanshul has the Nusach of the Rambam on the doorpost. It's the mezuzah and the little plaque right below the mezuzah on the doorpost itself. It says the Rambam. And the Rambam says when you come into the door, let's see if I could find it here quickly. Probably I never have luck finding things in the last minute when I write them down over here. The Rambam says, you see, it was always bad luck finding the words. I thought I underlined it here. The Rambam says when you walk in, you're supposed to contemplate upon, he used the word love. Doesn't the Rambam say kiss? I said the Rambam doesn't say kiss. The Rambam does not say kiss. Only the Arizal says kiss. But the Rambam says you should stop and you should reflect and contemplate the love that the Jew, that Hashem has for Klal Yisrael. The Ohov. Tzachiba yis tzachiba. It's a love. And, okay, let's go back to the tefillin one more time. It's Neman. But one of the most significant, we'll stop with this, the most significant component of the tefillin is V'ro'u kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra olecha v'yoru mimecha. Tefillin instills fear, pachat, in people. The tefillin can only instill fear and people who look at your tefillin corresponding to the amount of yira that you have for Hashem. Corresponding to your yira shamayim is the amount of yira that the tefillin evokes in other people who look at your tefillin. So what is tefillin? Yira. What is mezuzah? Ahava. The Rambam says. The Rambam says that the construction of a bias. Hashem gave you a bracha. You have a wife. And children, and you were zoicha to build a bayis neman b'Yisrael. This is an incredible act of love on Hashem's part to give you such a blessing, to have a bayis. It's an act of love. There has to be balance. Everything about yadis, everything, b'li yoytzev v'naklal, it's all about balance. The tefillin, they're pointing to, there's the menorah. Hey, what do you got on your tefillin? A menorah. The menorah belongs in the bayis. You go to the bayis. What do you see? Shakai. Shakai belongs in shul. Why are they pointing at one another? Because the bayis is the makom of ahava. Love. All the parenting books are all about love, 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 love. The fact that you have a bayis is an expression of Hashem's love for you. What is tefillin? Pacha, yira, 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 yira. Watch out. Bolt of lightning can come out of the sky any moment, even on a clear day. Watch out, yira. Balance. Don't get too worked up with yira. Ahava. Serve Hashem with love. But don't get too worked up with love. There's just only love. It'll be a meltdown. There's no discipline. There's no accountability. There's no responsibility. Everything is good, 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 good. Everything is good, then you have nothing, and you have a churban. There has to be yira, balance. Each one of these two, tefillin, mezuzah, they're two sides of the same coin. They capture the perfect balance. They are a team. They're team players. You know, interesting. Halacha l'maaseh, you're not supposed to have. You're not required to have a mezuzah in shul. Today, I don't think a shul in the whole Flatbush doesn't have a mezuzah. What?
Only
based on Tessa. Based on Tessa. You know who lives there? It's not a place to live. People can't put, today it's a different world. Today, shuls are not shuls anymore. I'm just saying, of course you can have a mezuzah. But one thing, there's no shul in the whole Flatbush when they put up that mezuzah, did someone make a bracha? No way. No way. When you put up a mezuzah in a shul, you don't make a bracha. You don't make a bracha. You know why? Because you're not supposed to. Because me'ikar hadin, you're not mechuyev. You know, it's not just you're not mechuyev. It doesn't belong there. I mean, obviously, we don't do this today. Today, even in the base Hamidash, I had a mezuzah for one reason only. Because the Kohen Gadol lived there. He lived there 7 days a year. In the Lishkas Parhedrin. He lived there for 7 days a year in preparation for Yom Kippur. But a shul, me'ikar hadin is potter. You've never went to a ribbon cutting ceremony where they put up a mezuzah where they made a bracha. No way. No way. You know, a shul doesn't have a mezuzah. The mezuzah is the bayis. You're not supposed to daven in the house. You're supposed to come daven in shul. One is ahava, one is yira. The two complement one another. Each one intertwines the other together. Okay, boys, I thank you for staying, for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Can I get catch on the cut the facility table and 10 minutes in a month?